I always wait for the good part of the song to start. And there it is. 720 WGN, Daniel in the Allstate Showcase studio in from 2 till 5 today for the aforementioned and the aforeheard Matt Bubala. So I'll be in here until 5 a.m. It won't be light out then. So it'll still be dark, but we've got a lot of great, cool stuff as we kind of get into Super Bowl weekend. Some of the things that are going to be up. Dino Tiberi is going to be in studio the entire length, the duration of the program, kicking in with some of his prognostications.
Right? Sure.
So he'll be talking a little bit about some of the bets. We heard, you know, the kind of the range of things that you can bet on, which, you know, as someone who's not, you know, either a gambling addict or even really, you know, a kind of a gambling enthusiast, you know, I'll do like a football pool, right?
Sure.
Or we'll do one of those, you know, kind of like a Survivor League.
Right. Something, you know, that's fantasy. Tame, not getting into details or anything like.
Or money, really.
Oh, right.
I mean, there is money, fun. I guess, for some people who win. I'm never that guy or that girl, right? So, but so we'll talk about some of that stuff coming up. And also, we're going to talk Super Bowl. It's not, you know, for everybody, it isn't all about betting and winning and maybe even not the game, right? Sometimes it's the party at home and the food and everything that you
just
have.
I think it's one of those things, Dane, where it's just a good time to get people together, you know, friends that you haven't seen them in a while. And, you know, it's a. People like the game for different reasons. Some people like to watch commercials because there's always some, you know, catchy thing that comes on.
Some, you know, catchy thing.
Yeah, you know, all of there's it's $5 million for a 30-second spot.
So do you think if you were going to start a business, do you think that that would be kind of a worthwhile place to put your dollars? Because in 1 second, if the goal is global acknowledgement, if the goal is having the world know what it is that you do and sell or whatever, that might be a way to just get it done.
Well, you know, with that type of an audience, I mean, you're not going to get that kind of coverage anywhere else. I mean, it's right. Worldwide. And if you want your product out there, that's the way to do it.
You sound like the Super Bowl sales guy. Right. You're like, you're not going to get it anyplace else. One-stop shop right here, Super Bowl Central.
Yeah, I have missed my calling, apparently.
So Beth Peterson is going to join us at 2:35 talking about the perfect Super Bowl party. You know that a sporting event has kind of transcended into a national holiday, right? Mm-hmm. Number one, when there's roadside sobriety checks. You know, during the whole weekend.
And you're getting, like, spots on the radio reminding you that, you know, you should let other people drive and the whole bit.
We know you're going to be partying. Do
right.
It responsibly. But that's just, you know, they don't do that when, you know, it's the Maine East High School basketball game. It's not like,
no.
It's not that big of a thing. But, you know, the Super Bowl is so much more than just the game that it started out as. And so we'll talk about some of the parties, some of the entertainment. You know, and that's a way for everybody, you know, on both sides of the gender aisle to be able to get in and enjoy. I mean, it's a big day for ladies, too.
Yeah, and, you know, also the halftime show, that's always a big draw. In years past, they've had Paul McCartney and, you know, the Rolling Stones. They've had a lot of great acts performing. This year, I'm not so sure they're great acts, but, you know.
What? This is the 50th anniversary, so they have many. There's a bunch, right? Isn't there like four or five different people who have been the headliner for the Super Bowl in the past?
Yeah, it's, you know, Coldplay is going to be involved, Beyonce, and then I'm trying to think of the third one.
Bruno Mars.
Bruno
is
Mars,
be there.
Yep. Yeah, there's that's
Lady Gaga's going to do.
She's going to do the national anthem. Yeah, there's star power at the Super Bowl. So
312-981-7200. If you would like to suggest. Like, who would you like to see there? Dino's obviously underwhelmed. He doesn't think that, he's like, there's nobody good there. You know, even though it's probably hundreds of millions of albums sold, you know, and lots of fans. But who would you like to see there? I mean, Earth, Wind, and Fire, I'm guessing, is what you'd be thinking.
Well, it'd be a little difficult to do that in light of the recent events that happened today, but or yesterday.
Unfortunately.
How about bringing back a computer-generated Frank Sinatra?
You know,
would you do a Rat Pack theme?
Yeah,
Roger,
why not? Just, bring them all back.
Like, think about this now, Roger. That is an excellent point.
Seriously, they're doing it now. They've done it on the award shows where they brought back, you know, a dead person, a singer, and had them performed alongside an Elvis. Yeah, right.
Well, they
right.
did it.
They
baby,
did Elvis.
Baby steps. You know, they first brought out just a dead person, and then they're like, "Well, let's have him do something. Maybe he should sing." No, but Roger, that is genius because we've all seen those shows where you've got an entertainer there, and then, you know, midway through that first song, somebody else walks on stage unexpected because they're dead, right? And then the crowd goes crazy, right? Think about this.
Sure.
So Sinatra's out there, and then on walks like Sammy Davis Jr.
Sure.
Then
oh,
out
yeah.
from the side, Dean Martin comes in.
Right. There you go.
And then random extra guy. Who is the extra rat pack?
Joey Bishop. Joey Bishop will come in and get the crowd going.
Is he still alive?
No,
I don't think so.
I think he's gone, too. I think the rat pack's been wiped out.
312-981-7200, yes. Who would you like to see? And I think we've broken through the barrier of the it has to be like physically or spiritually possible, right? So now we can
or
just,
digitally.
Or digitally.
Why not?
Sure.
Michael Jackson could make a comeback.
Oh, why that not? Would be an awesome show.
Come on. And I know they don't
Michael through the years.
they're gonna do their own party up there, you know, while the Super Bowl's going on.
Now I heard this and it makes perfect sense, is that they don't pay the acts, right? That they perform for free because it's an amazing audience and they can say, buy our new album, you know, or something, right?
Yeah, that was the whole thing with who was it that did it last? Katy Perry. She kept saying, "Well, the NFL's, you know, the NFL was kept telling her, no, we're not going to pay you for it." And she almost backed out of it because the fact that she wasn't getting paid, but she ended up going through with it anyway. So I mean, it's great exposure. You're right. I mean, again, as I said a few minutes ago. Worldwide exposure. You're not going to get that anywhere else, Dane. That's going to be the theme tonight. You don't get that anywhere else.
The course of the program, definitely text in, and that's that same number, 312-981-7200, your thoughts for who should be the halftime act for that. And we're going to have Sadie Carpenter is going to give us a call about 3:30, talk about where to watch. We're joking, right? If you got bed bugs, we feel for you. But if that's your excuse, hey, got to get out of the house.
That's right.
Right? And there's some great places all around Chicagoland to watch the Super Bowl. Let's say you're a big Panthers fan and the whole household hates the Panthers, right? And you just won't be happy, you know, being there. You want to get out. Sadie's going to tell us where to go ahead and do that. And then Kevin Hickey from the Duck Inn over at the Four Seasons for so many years. He is going to be joining us. David Manilow, Check Please. You ever watch that show, Dino? Ever heard
of it? Absolutely, yep. Watch it. It's on the DVR as we speak right now.
Are you serious?
Yep. Well, Dawn and I, she's a big foodie, so my girlfriend. So we watch that. She watches that show religiously, and I jump in there now and then.
That's great. He's going to be joining us talking about kind of the things on deck in 2016, the food scene, and then also with his new series, Chat Please. And then Greg Renoff mentioned this. Van Halen Rising. Not everybody's a Van Halen fan, obviously, but the kind of formative years where they started ushering in that new era of heavy metal, and then just, you know, kind of where you start, you know. And this is a guy that wrote a book from the embryonic stages of Van Halen. We'll be talking to him at some point before 5 o'clock.
That's going
to
be great.
All right, we're in studio. It's the start of the kickoff, right, of the Super Bowl weekend. Your thoughts, our thoughts, all that. It's Dane Neal in 720 WGN.
Earth and Wind and Fire right there.
Oh, yeah. Get ready, Super Bowl. Earth, Wind and Fire. 720 WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio, Dino Tiberi to my right. And one of the first questions that we put out, and a lot of people are excited about it. I was too. Roger came up with a great, maybe bring back a psychedelic digital rat pack that could come and perform. So we've branched beyond the possible as far as, you know, the typical performance, usually as living people.
Right. We've moved on to dead ones.
Anybody, right? Who would you have as, and a lot of people, Dino for one, are less than impressed by the, you know, the people that they have out there, or maybe there's other people that could be great halftime acts.
I'm not saying it's going to be a bad show. I mean, it'd probably be entertaining. I just, when I think of great acts performing, Coldplay, you know, they're all right. I just don't roll off the tongue as a great act.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it depends. Hey, it's a diverse, you know, country with a lot of different tastes, diverse world. Everybody likes that. So when Gary called, right, and the thing came up on the screen, and Sean put it in. Sean in the booth is going to be answering your calls tonight, kind of adding in some of the text, too, as far as, you know, who would be the great Super Bowl act. It came up, and the way that the letters broke up, it said Ed Zeppelin. And I think, well, there's a Chicago fan, and I want to share an Ed Zeppelin story. Of course, Ed Zeppelin was the Kevin Matthews used to do an act where he was in disguise.
I think it was Eddie Schwartz.
Right, as the
voice.
Lead. I saw Ed Zeppelin out in St. Charles in, I think, 1990 at Pheasant Run at the Mega. And for those people out there, there's really nothing mega about it. It's like a pole barn.
It's just a name.
And the opening act. So I saw them. Great. Wonderful. But the real catch to the story is the opening act for Ed Zeppelin at the Mega Center was, Dino, can you guess?
I can't.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Come on.
Yes, Jerry Seinfeld. Yes, a bunch of folding tables in what basically is a high school gymnasium. And Jerry Seinfeld was, you know, everyone just tolerated him as he told stories about that missing sock in the dryer. And we waited for Ed Zeppelin.
Wow.
Right, I wish you would have took a picture. But...
That, about that, if you had social media then, how about it?
That's insane. But we had Gary from Milwaukee who called up with Led Zeppelin was one of the suggestions that he had. Some of the other ones that we've got coming in from the 815, we had Eric Clapton, Willie Nelson, Steve Winwood. That would be a good one.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, I don't know if they don't all have to be together. We've
yeah,
got
I Paul. Guess maybe that
control
was...
your enthusiasm, will you? Jeez.
Yeah. Roger, it's quite a bill together. If I saw him maybe at
what you want, like DuPage, 20 acts?
Well, you know, DuPage County Fair, but I mean, we're talking
Ribfest,
right? I've seen him some of them at Ribfest.
I guess put your hands together for Steve Winwood, and then Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Julian Lennon, George's Kid, the New Beatles. I think a Beatles would be great. I think we've mentioned that Paul McCartney has been a part of it before, but
yeah, he did, and then. You'd have to get Ringo to get involved, of course. The last two time those two performed together was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame gig. I think it was like a year or two ago. But why not? Hey, anybody's eligible at this point if Coldplay's in it.
All right. Well, and calling in from Milwaukee, we've got Glenn who's got a suggestion as well. Glenn, welcome to WGN. Hey, Glenn. What's going on?
Hey.
So what's your thought as far as the you know, a potential Super Bowl halftime act?
Well, going with what you guys are doing, talking about, you know, being alive and maybe doing video or DVD or whatever they do now, how about if you do a 50-50 of the Beatles, half of them are alive, half of them are dead, and it's probably in the ballpark of the age group of the people watching the game anyway.
Wow.
That's an interesting slant. I like the way you're thinking there.
But I think that adds an extra wrinkle to it. So not just the hologram band, which would be pretty cool, but maybe some of the members that are alive performing with some. That's kind of weird. You know, I wonder, I think it would be cool. Entertainment-wise, it'd be great. I just wonder if the band would go for it.
Yeah.
And how about doing it with as Sgt. Pepper also? You know, there's a techno colorful aspect of it also.
Nice.
Yeah, that'd be quite a production, that's for sure. But, you know, they've pulled off a lot of other things that have been similar to that, so why not?
It would definitely beat the heck out of Dancing Sharks.
Or Up With People.
Up With yeah. People. Well, Glenn and Dino, what do you guys think about, let's say, since we're kind of along those same lines, like Freddie Mercury performing with Queen, you know, where they hologram him?
Yeah, I would go to see that. Just to see the concert, and I would care less about the football game then.
That's a catch 22, Glenn, because it's an empty stadium for the second half. Super Bowl 51. Everyone left. Mic drop.
Then again, also, the people who are enjoying the Queen aspect of the music may not be exactly the bunch of guys that are going to be watching the football game.
Well, the people that are watching the halftime show, a lot of them aren't going to be really interested in the game. Or, you know,
yeah, I mean, it's not really Shark fans that are, you know, or Katy Perry fans. But now here's another one, and this is really cool. And people are, I mean, they're coming up with some great suggestions. 312-981-7200. A texter from the 309 said Jimi Hendrix playing the national anthem.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
That sounds
with guitar?
With Lady Gaga.
Well, I think
that would make the entire audience head just explode.
Well, Glenn, you may get your wish sooner than later on something like that. I think within a year or two, Tony Bennett's going to maybe not be with us, and maybe that's how they'll perform together.
Wow.
Well, I mean, in a bad way.
Natalie Cole and Nat King, you know, they were able to say, and now they're both gone, so now it'd be a double spirit thing.
Channeling it back into the Super Bowl.
Glenn, you are making me think, especially when you say, hey, some of these performances, you know, are bigger than the Super Bowl, if that is even possible. How about an entire tour, entire like Lollapalooza style tour with just all dead people? What do you think?
Hey.
Well, I think that would work. How about or just do the entire revisit of the Wall with Floyd?
Well, they're not dead, though.
Well, but no, getting them back together.
Waters is still doing that.
Yeah. Getting them back together as a group, though, that's a whole other thing.
Would take an act of God.
Probably. You're right about that.
It'll be the act of God tour.
And there you go.
I love it.
On the wall.
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate it.
Sure enough.
That's great. Bye-bye. Well, that's great. 312-981-7200. The Super Bowl is going to have many things. Hopefully a good game will be in there somewhere. It's going to shape it up. You don't have one team, I think, that's more dominant. Right, than the other?
Well, I think it's leaning towards Carolina on this one. I mean, you've got Peyton Manning, you know, the last hurrah here. I think he may be retiring after this game, possibly. And the betting favorites, Carolina, I think that they're the better team. But it's not a runaway. It's not like a double-digit spread or anything like that. And
anything can happen. I mean, you're looking, you know, is Peyton Manning going to be able to pull, you know, another rabbit out of the hat? Is going to be able to kind of cerebrally beat the other team? You never know. I mean, for the Carolina Panthers, this would be, I mean, I think on paper they are the more talented team, but you've got experience. And, you know, Denver is a really good team, too. They beat Tom Brady and a really good Patriots team.
Their defense has been number one all season, so there's no reason to think that they're not going to be able to hold their own against Carolina, even though that Carolina's got a lot of talent of their own, so we'll see.
You know, I'd ask you who you're rooting for, but I think I know, because you are wearing the Cam Newton black and gold Zubaz that he stepped off of the plane with.
Well, I found him in the drawer, so figured no better time than the present to pull him out and put him on. Zubaz, nice.
Coming up after the break, you know, the game is more, and we've talked about the national anthem, and of course you can add, not the national anthem, well, yeah, we did that too, the national anthem and the halftime show. You can add your suggestion at 312-981-7200. Who should be doing it, if not these people, or maybe for future years? But the game is more about the game. They'll be playing it, I'm guessing, but the party is going to start so much more earlier in the parking lot with the tailgating, for sure, and then home gating. So many people are going to be at home watching it, putting their own Super Bowl spread. What are you going to be doing, Dino?
We're going to be heading down to beautiful Park Forest, Illinois, to get together with some people that we've been going to their party at the Park Forest Tennis Club for the last few years. So we missed it last year, obviously, with the snow we had, because everybody was locked in with that.
You have like a tennis-themed Super Bowl party?
No, it's not a tennis theme.
Like, just, I'm Bjorn Borg.
No, it's just actually at the tennis club where it's a friend of a friend. It's there. They have their, for their members, they have a little get-together there. So they have a bar area in the tennis club itself. So it's nice. It's not real big, but it's big enough. It's probably, 30, 40, 50 people, something like that. So nothing too crazy.
Sean just mentioned it's right near Richie's High School.
Yeah, it's right across the street from it, yep.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Well, that's going to be great. Well, we're going to talk with Beth Peterson in just a few minutes when we come back from the break about the perfect party, kind of setting it up so that, you can watch the game. But you can also have kind of game-themed snacks to go along with it, so you can be as impressive at home and at the dinner table as you are on the field.
That sounds great. I can't wait to hear this. That's going to be a good one.
Stay tuned for that. Stay Neil in for Matt Bubala, 720 WGN.
There it is.
Imagine he slides onto the stage.
Just moonwalks his way back out there.
Oh, it was great. 720 WGN, Daniel in Allstate Showcase Studio until 5 a.m. Dino Tiberi to my right. It is the eve of Super Bowl weekend. People are just like Thanksgiving, right? They're starting to work on all the prep. They're trying to create their snack stadiums.
Going out and doing their shopping for the party and getting everything ready.
They're listening to all of their Lady Gaga albums, all of their Bruno, all one or two of their Bruno Mars
Beyonce,
albums.
They'll get them all together. They just have their own pre-Super Bowl halftime performance concert of their own while they're getting ready.
The buildup is insane. And one of the things that's been kind of fun so far is 312-981-7200 is people are sharing who they think should be the halftime act. Just great suggestions from Jimi Hendrix with the national anthem to Led Zeppelin to Eric Clapton to all sorts of great ones. Queen, of course I brought that up. I don't know if it's a great suggestion, but either way, and a possible way to kind of digitally bring those performers to life for what is really the biggest event, I think, from a television perspective in the world. And somebody had texted in from the 815, how about that Carol Channing broad? And now, Carol, some people may think that that's a joke, but she actually did perform back in 1970. And so I can imagine, I think it was just I don't want to say a lesser event back in 1970. That would have been Super Bowl, three?
Yeah.
Right? So
Kansas City and Minnesota back then.
Yeah.
I hear her performance was the benchmark for all future halftime performers.
Well, there is no question. There is no question. But also,
Roger, do you remember seeing that one?
I'm old enough to remember. Yes. Yeah. Well, it was completely underwhelming. Yes.
That was back when they
Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Is that what you trot that out there?
Girl's best friend. Everything was so tight on her, she could hardly talk.
Roger Channing with us tonight.
No, Roger, back then in 1970, things were relatively kind of more flexible with her, right? She wasn't as tightened up back then, I don't think.
Oh, I think she's always been tight-skinned for...
Man, I don't know.
Here's another one. You were talking about Michael Jackson, right, with the music?
Sure.
Coming back. All right, and as that's playing and you start talking about it, I go, oh, wouldn't it be great if he would, like, moonwalk up into the sky? And then I stopped and I said, oh, digitally project it on the moon. And let him, as long as there's a clear moon for the game, let him moonwalk across the moon.
Roger, and I don't have to tell you this, but when you have ideas like that, text them to us first, because you
text
know.
Text them from the newsroom. That's a good thing.
They are already working on it. This is a think tank. You got to think at some level.
I've got to patent this stuff. I swear to God. That is one awesome. Of these days.
Well, Carol Channing was doing it back when there was a theme. It was a tribute to Mardi Gras or a tribute to Hollywood. You know, Mardi Gras was the theme for then. They don't do that anymore. It's not like up with people, you know, things like that. So, but when it comes to your own party, you can have a theme. Of course, the theme's going to be the Super Bowl, but you can kind of spin it your own way. Maybe the cuisines of the locales that are playing or something like that. On the line with us now, we've got one of the foremost experts when it comes to not only tailgating. People are going to be doing that at the Super Bowl tailgating, since the ticket's, you know, $1,000, $7,000.
You got to get the whole experience.
So you've got a gold-plated Weber grill out there. Who knows what you got? If you're doing it at home, the party, you're going to want it to be perfect, and nobody's better than Beth Peterson. She is on the line with us now. Beth, welcome to WGN.
Hey, everybody.
So Beth, you know, rise and shine. I know that you were up anyway, kind of forming all of your nacho platters and your mini dogs, because there is a high standard and you reach it every year.
I had to dig out my gold-plated grill, and I'm working on that right now.
Get it fired up.
Not already for tomorrow. I'm getting it fired up.
You're like, it's terrible to clean Tarnax. I don't know what you do with it.
Make sure your propane tank's full.
So, Beth, when it comes to, like, the perfect Super Bowl party, and for those people that have still a little bit of time to run out to the Aldi's or the Jewels and pick up some of those last-minute, not even last-minute, I mean, that day-before items, do you do that? I mean, obviously the game is the theme, but do you set up kind of a sub-theme for it?
Yeah. I mean, well, first of all, it is going to be a busy day at the stores tomorrow, so get there early because everybody waits to the last minute, I think, the day before Super Bowl to run out and get their snacks.
Get their Stroh's 30 pack.
Stroh's. Do they still make Stroh's?
Well, they make it in limited quantities. So I think, along with your advice, get out there early.
Get some of that and get some Ice House to go with it.
Yeah, you definitely want to get there early. You want to get started early tomorrow, getting prepared for the big day, because you want to enjoy the big day, right? You don't want to be, still in the kitchen cooking food and getting ready for the big day while everybody else is out there having fun. You know, if you're cooking the food for the day, for the big day for everyone, you want to be able to enjoy it with them too. So I always say make everything ahead of time. Tell people to bring things, and so that you can enjoy a little bit. Make a few signature dishes, you know, kind of theme it out a little bit, and invite people to bring things that kind of match the theme. So, for example, one of the things that I'm doing, which is kind of fun, is I'm doing meatloaf cupcakes.
Ooh.
And doing, like, kind of all the toppings on the meatloaf cupcakes. They're really fun.
Wow.
Is it like with a gravy frosting or something? I mean, how do you...
Ketchup on the side?
Okay.
Yes, totally. Absolutely. With actually mashed potato frosting.
That's perfect.
Boy. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. I've never heard of that.
And it would probably see. Well, that's why we're here.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
You know what? Game day food has to be portable. You've got to be able to, like, you know, hold a drink in one hand, hold, you know, your snacks in the other, and, you know, enjoy the game and chit chat with people. So the meatloaf cupcake is brilliant for this because you can top it with all sorts of fun toppings and still have a, you know, have a hand free for the strohs.
So no, that's what the helmet is for. The helmet
with the two straws, the beer cans.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Beth, does the meatloaf cupcake, you know, as kind of an homage to the traditional cupcake, does it always have that, the, you know, the paper kind of little cup that it sits in? Because that would work well, because I am from moment one till moment 101, if it goes into overtime, I've got the foam finger thing going, so I want to be able to grip that without staining that precious foam.
You are in luck. It is perfect for this. It does have the little paper thing, and the cute thing about it is that it is a football, like, it looks like a football field. It's green, little cute little cupcake. You know, you can get all different kinds of little paper cupcake things to put it in that are sports related or team related.
Nice.
So how long does it take to put what do you have, like a tray of these things you put out, or how many do you make?
So easy to do. You do cupcake trays and put the, you know, just like you would make a regular cupcake, except you put your meatloaf mixture in there.
That's it. Just the meatloaf mixture right in there. And then you top it with some mashed potato frosting. I think that is a winner. Well, some of the traditional kind of this is funny, right? The team photo, right? Of foods that you have there. You know, you've got your nachos are pretty popular. You've got maybe your Italian beefs. You've got, but kind of small. Do you do that too? Or is it all kind of, because those are elevated sides. I mean, a meatloaf cupcake sounds really cool. Do you do any of the traditional things too?
Well, yeah, actually this year a very popular thing, and I don't know if you've seen it on the news, the nachos are making a big play this year in tailgate foods, and doing them kind of more in an elevated way or in a really big way. There's been, you know, like competitions on how big you can create, like, you know, your tailgate nacho tray.
Well, so, well, Beth, how do they do that?
Is it go big or go home with your nachos this year?
Is it kind of the ways to kind of elevate it in the from the culinary, maybe some artisan stone ground homemade chips and maybe some cave age cheese on there instead of the whiz, instead of the cheese whiz.
Maybe a little chorizo this year instead of, you know, the traditional ground beef on there.
Some wago beef, exactly. Like in there, and just that sounds awesome. So Beth, on the beverage side, you know, once you've gone through, and it happens if you've got the right crowd, once you blow through the 30 pack of strohs, are there any kind of cool, like, cocktails that may be kind of more friendly for, you know, both guys and girls and kind of keep it fun, but with a game theme? Just a thought. You don't have to have one.
I have a game.
I didn't want to put any pressure. Right?
No pressure. I have these things, like, you know, I'm making them right now for game day. I've got the bourbon root beer ice cream float. This is a special treat. I love bourbon.
Well, yeah.
Who doesn't?
It's a perfect, perfect combination for game day. So after you're done with the strohs, definitely pull your bourbon out. Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, I love bourbon as well. And I think it sounds like it could be, you know, Reuben is a sandwich. It sure is. But it's also a name. If I have, and I'll say it right now, just as Roger divulged his Michael Jackson moonshot, which I think is genius. If I have a child, either in a natural accidental way, right, or else maybe we adopt a 14-year-old Laotian boy, I'm going to change his. He is going to be named Bourbon.
Just that one word.
No, I don't. We're not going Cher. You know, I mean, he'll be Bourbon Neil. But I think that sounds good, right? You can call him Burbs.
Sure. Burbs.
Burbs.
I like it. Really good. And he will like the bourbon root beer float.
Oh, yeah, he will. There's a sponsorship kind of, there's a marketing opportunity there. So we'll work on that.
Burbs.
So, Beth, hold tight. We're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we do want to get another either tailgating. We want to talk about the new tailgating book that's coming up, plus get Beth's thought on who would be her ideal halftime act. When we come back, Dino is with me. Dane is in studio, 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase studio until 5 a.m., kind of leading up to giving constructive advice, some really unconstructive information as well, related to the Super Bowl. Dino Tiberi is to my right on the line talking about the perfect parties and a way to elevate your Super, make it a memorable thing, right? So years from now, they'll think, hey,
what a great party.
Hey, well, remember when there's the meatloaf cupcakes and the bourbon.
And the strolls.
Yeah. Some great stuff on the line. Beth Peterson. Beth, welcome back.
Thank you.
So for those people that may want to really have that authentic kind of game day experience, but we're not really there, so I guess that knocks out the authentic part, but they want a tailgate, right? Maybe in their backyard. You have, and you're in the process of writing a book related to tailgating, but tailgating in I think the best way, right? You know, I mean, always are good. There's nothing wrong with tailgating in any way that you can manage to do it, but giving people
Absolutely.
Options to do it in an elevated fashion.
Yeah, elevated and just sort of creative ideas, fun, new, fresh ideas. I mean, the old standbys are great. And, you know, I want it to be easy, but also want it to be really fun. So the cookbook has a lot of great, fun, new, fresh ideas for, you know, the thing is that bringing food to a tailgate is kind of a little bit of, it's kind of competitive. You know, people want to bring like the best tailgate dish, right? So they're looking for some inspiration to help them to sort of, you know, beat the other guy and bring, you know, the best wings or the best dip to the party.
Or be
so
the
they'll definitely help people.
Yeah, and be the one that everyone's talking about after the party's over the next day. You know, what'd you have at the party? Oh, we had this great dip, or we had, the, you know, like you said, wings or whatever the best food is.
Yeah.
Those are things you talk about the next day, especially if the game's that great. You talk about, you know, what the party was all about. You know,
yeah. The food has a lot of pride at a tailgate. It's like if you put your, you know, you bring your dish and you put it on the tailgate table and people are, you know, they're ignoring it or whatever. You know, you want your dish to be the one that everybody kind of talks about, and the dish is empty at the end of the game or even, you know, beforehand, and people are talking about, you've got to go try those wings. They're amazing.
To give the listeners a little bit of perspective on Beth, of course, she is the one of the founders and the chief marketing officer for Yummy Nation, and she has traveled the nation in so many great tailgate situations. Some of the best tailgates that we have in this country are the college football ones, right, where you've got some of those longstanding rivalries or the college football is the only game in town, and they tailgate, especially in different regions around the country, I don't want to say necessarily an elevated way, but certainly in some instances in an enthusiastic way, right? It is all encompassing. But Beth, I've never been to the Super Bowl. Do people tailgate at the Super Bowl? I'm guessing they probably do. And then do any insights or suggestions or even just some ideas on what they might be? Do people who go to the Super Bowl tailgate in a different way than we would at a Bears game?
You know, that is a really good question. I haven't been, but I do know that food plays a really big role at the Super Bowl. They have they bring all these chefs from around the country, and they do taste. I think it's called Taste of Super Bowl. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but I know that they bring the top chefs from around the country that represent their teams from, you know, different states around the country, and they do a big charitable tailgate. Really kind of event before the Super Bowl.
No,
so I know it plays a big part.
You're right. And I've talked with John Besh before, and he was heading out to this, or when the Super Bowl was in New Orleans, and they do have all of these different, figure there's such a corporate presence there for the Super Bowl. They have all these different parties where they'll bring in some of the biggest chefs. And you mentioned it, Beth, yeah, from all around the country, they will be there and be cooking. So that makes more sense to me. So instead of, if you're going to the Super Bowl, let's say if you're, you know, that's an opportunity that you have. They have people to tailgate for you. You have famous chefs tailgating for you.
That's right. I actually have noticed this year, like a lot of chefs are, you know, presenting, you know, fine dining chefs are presenting their tailgate recipes on websites and on, you know, in media and stuff like that. So I think it's really become a thing where, you know, even, you know, high level chefs have their go-to tailgate recipe. So it's, you know, definitely it's huge. It's a big deal to, you know, feed people on game day.
Well, typically in tailgate situations that I've been in, there would be like somebody would be blaring the Steve Miller Band on a boombox, right? But music at the Super Bowl is at another level. Coldplay is the group that's out there, along with Beyonce, along with Bruno Mars, all that have been there before. And so from a music side, and I want to get your thoughts on this too, Beth. We've got Dino. You were underwhelmed by Coldplay. But 630, come on, are you kidding me? The 50th Super Bowl and you have Coldplay? I kind of have to agree with that. Not necessarily there's anything wrong with Coldplay, but this is the 50th anniversary of the Super Bowl. The 815 suggested the Boss, Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA, would be an awesome opener for halftime. There is no question about that.
Why not?
That makes perfect sense. So Beth, from your perspective, if Rick Saucedo is not available...
And I'm not sure he is of these days, but
we got a hologram of him.
Thank you very much, man.
No, I am only kidding. That's an inside joke. But so, Beth, like, who do you think would be great for a Super Bowl?
I liked your suggestion of Queen. If Queen were around, Queen would have been a really good one. I agree. Coldplay seems to not be the best choice for Super Bowl 50 to me. I don't know. I can't come up with that showstopper besides, you know, some really big over the top somebody. I think it would be kind of cool if they went like completely old school and did like, you know, just marching bands and stuff. And did like a whole spectacular with, you know, marching bands and flag girls and the whole thing.
I'm looking through the list here of past ones where marching bands were probably a prominent element. And in 1972, it was a salute to Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald, and the aforementioned Carol Channing were also there with the U.S. Marine Corps drill team.
Well, that's tremendous. I think that Super Bowl was in Tulane Stadium in New Orleans, so that might make some sense.
See, that's Beth. She is a traditionalist. It was old school, right? She's like, hey, there's nothing wrong with a good marching band. So, Beth, we had a caller call in that wanted to know where or if there is a place where they can find, or maybe they'll find it in the future, for the bourbon root beer float.
They can go to, let's see, right now, they can go to Beth-Peterson.com, and they can find that recipe.
Beth-Peterson.com. And talk about some of the other places where people can find stuff. I know you're all over Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and some of those things.
Sure, yeah. Beth's Table on Twitter, Beth's Table on Instagram and Facebook. You can find, you know, all the fun things that I'm doing. I'll be tweeting out some recipes tomorrow. So, you know, you can find some really great. I've got this grilled corn chipotle dip that is killer. Like, this is the dip that will, like, last only, like, 15 minutes on game day. So make a big vat of this one. And you can find that at BethSPeterson.com. And again, I'll be putting it on social media tomorrow.
Beth, and then lastly, so sometime maybe fall, summer of 2016, we're going to be looking for that tailgating book?
It's probably going to be more like the beginning of 2017. But yeah, okay. We're working on it right now.
You got to get it right. Put as many things in there as you can. It can be the Bible. It'll be the guidebook for the Gridiron celebration out in the parking lot. Beth Peterson, thanks so much for being at WGN. This is great stuff.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night, and go team.
Well, which is your pick? Do you have a pick, or is it just I hope my choice, my prediction is a great party?
That's what it is. Exactly. I don't care, really.
Well, you and a lot of other people this year, I think. It's a recurring theme.
All right, Beth.
It's all about the food for me and the party.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Beth. All right.
Have a great day, guys. Bye.
She doesn't care, you know, but that's not the case for so many people in Vegas, right? Or people that are betting on when the first time Ed Hockley's will flex, right? There are people that...
I'm not even sure Ed Hockley's doing this game, but I would maybe if I was a betting man, he may be there.
You are a betting man, and I think when we come back, or maybe at some point in the program, probably within the next 30 minutes, Dino's going to talk about some of those things that are happening for those people that do care on the betting side as far
absolutely.
As the outcome. Plus, your thoughts on halftime show. We'll run through some of the fun ones that have happened in the past. So they haven't hit home runs every time. Some have been great. Yes. Some have been Carol Channing. Okay. 720 WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio. We are here on the eve of the Super Bowl and talking about some of the favorite bands, the favorite acts, halftime show. things that should be done. And, you know, the thing is maybe we're expecting a little bit too much because, you know, you're looking through some of the ones from the past, and the first ones where it was an actual band, a group, which was kind of, that was groundbreaking at the time. New Kids on the Block, not recent, but not that long ago.
Yeah, it was, you know, most of the, as we mentioned before, most of the time it was marching bands and up with people, and, you know, it was an ensemble groups that were out doing and performing, and then
Carol Channing, hey, can you do it?
Sure, Ella Fitzgerald. And then, you know, just going through the list, it looks like the first year that they had a the New Kids on the Block performed was 1991 in Tampa, and then they started, Gloria Estefan was a year after that, and they started bringing in, you know, regular performers to, you know, in addition to some of the other supplemental things here. I mean, you know, each year it seems like they had, you know, they started bringing in multiple people
and bigger and bigger and bigger acts. And yep. So in the end, it became kind of a marquee thing for a band to do. And you know that you'd reach kind of that pinnacle of career success if you're doing the Super Bowl. 312-981-7200 to add your thoughts. Had so many of them. And we'll be taking those throughout the course of the program. Dino, you mentioned it, that you guys at your house love the show Check Please. Right?
Yep.
And we are going to have the visionary founder of Check Please, 15 years. Wow, that's what's happening. He's even branching out with a new series, Chat Please, which is coming up. So we'll be talking to David Mantle when we come back from the break. We're going to take a break right now and come back with him. It's Dane Neal in 720 WGN.
The big story.
The political name for Control-Alt-Delete is New Hampshire. That state's primary could reset everything for both parties. And I'll have a front row seat to report on it for you.
The big story this week, the New Hampshire primary. Andrea Darlis is there for 720 WGN.
I love eavesdropping. Come on, who doesn't? Lindsay here, producer of the Mr. Fix-It Show, with Tom Jenke of Builder's Supply Outlet. As I've been walking around your store, I hear your customers just love this place.
Our best endorsements come from our customers.
Love the exterior doors, the interior doors. Just by redoing doors in a person's home, you can change the whole look.
Tom, you do have a massive selection of beautiful exterior and interior doors.
And they're all at true outlet prices of 40 to 60% off.
That's why homeowners and contractors come to Builder's Supply Outlet from Wisconsin, Indiana, and all over Chicagoland. You have quality products, fantastic outlet prices, and excellent service.
I think the best part of the store is the people. I love working with the staff.
Builder Supply Outlet, just 5 miles east of the Oakbrook Shopping Mall on Cermak Road in Broadview.
Or visit buildersupplyoutlet.com.
They can't be beat. Truly cannot be beat.
Quality and savings are what you get at Builder Supply Outlet.
Celebrate African American scientific and creative innovation with the Museum of Science and Industry's 2016 Black Creativity Program. On select days, guests are invited to get inventive at the Black Creativity Innovation Studio and create hands-on solutions to science challenges. Also, see more than 100 artworks from African American artists at the Juried Art Exhibition. For information, visit msichicago.org. Black Creativity 2016 is presented by the Allstate Insurance Company and co-sponsored by Northern Trust.
Are you a veteran with an emergency housing need? Or maybe you know a veteran who needs emergency housing? The VA can help. Lovell Federal Healthcare Center's Walk-In Homeless Center can help connect you with emergency housing and addressing your financial crisis. Learn more. Call us at 224-610-4708 or visit us in North Chicago, right by the Great Lakes Naval Base.
So we started in Chicago 15 years ago, and if you look at Chicago in 2001, it was a good restaurant town. You know, still a little meat and potatoes, but it has just exploded in creativity and popularity.
Come on, listen to the wheel whistle away. Hop along to the stars in the day.
Hi, this is David Mantle, the creator of Check Please and the host of the brand new Chat Please. You're listening to Dane on WGN.
I remember the Milky Way wide. I belong to the stars in the sky.
720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And on the line is someone who's provided the platform for so many people to share their favorite restaurant finds, meals, and memories. and giving Chicagoland some of the best television entertainment in the food space with a hit show, Check Please. It's all about telling stories, and Check Please has let restaurant lovers do that for 15 years. Can you believe it's been 15 years? That's amazing. Now he has some of the best personalities in food that have made so many of those meals and memories tell their side of the story with his new series, Chat Please. It's the one and only David Manilow. Welcome to WGN.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be with you.
First off, mind explodes a little bit because, you know, you've had great seats for so much of the success that's happened with Check Please, not only here in Chicago, but of course, Bay Area, South Florida. And you just mentioned off air, you're heading to Phoenix for some things. So at what point, as you're watching some of this, did you sit there and say, hey, there's a bigger story, or there, at least there's more story to be told?
You know, so we started in Chicago 15 years ago. And if you look at Chicago in 2001, it was a good restaurant town and, you know, kind of still a little meat and potatoes, but there was no Alinea. There was no Publican. There weren't kind of like the avant-garde, even the Moto that I know is closing soon. But it has just exploded in creativity and popularity. And I think there's a lot of other cities around the country that are kind of going in that same direction. San Francisco, of course, has always been an incredible food town. But Miami's an interesting food town. And we have, you know, we've been in Seattle. I just opened up our first European one in Vienna.
Are you serious?
Austria, I am. So I was out in Austria in November, and we did a pilot together, and I think they're airing the pilot in the next couple weeks. And I would love nothing more for that to turn into something where we could do some other European cities. But, you know, we'll see. It's a little different. You know, you have to kind of, like, adapt a little bit to the environment or the particulars of each individual market. So I clearly don't know Vienna that well, so I have to kind of defer to them. But it's been a really wonderful ride, and watching lots of things happen, lots of creativity within the chefs, and a huge amount more food knowledge from viewers and guests, just a huge food knowledge that did not exist 15 years ago.
Now, David, do you ever go back and play some of those year one, two, three things where people are, they're not reviewing Applebee's, obviously they're good places, right? But like you said, that just the conversation is elevated to a point where they're just discussing and understanding and communicating at a higher level when it comes to food.
There's no question about it. You know, each year we do, at the end of the season, we do a compilation show. So one year it might be our favorite cheap eats or restaurants with live music. And so we have an opportunity to show clips from restaurants we did years ago. This year, because it's our 15th anniversary, we're actually doing a Chef's Choice compilation show. Now, it's not chefs sitting around a table talking about their favorite restaurants and agreeing or disagreeing. It's nine kind of noted Chicago chefs who are each picking their favorite little restaurants. So we have Grant Achatz and Curtis Duffy and Michael Cornick, Tony Mantuano, Paul Kahn, people like that, that are each introducing their favorite restaurant that has appeared on Check Please in the past, and that's not necessarily the ones that get all the press.
Okay, so that's great. So, and that's part of it, too, is I think in a context there, it's one thing to go to one of the restaurants, and then you get to, I guess, feel kind of their vision through the expression of the food. But what is so cool about opportunities like that is you do get to hear the person, right? And sometimes the person isn't necessarily the person that you think of when you think of the restaurant. Was that something that was cool when you started doing some of the episodes of Chat Please, where you're like, people are really going to love to actually meet the people behind the restaurant?
Yeah, you know, I know some of these people either well or peripherally, and they all have great stories. And what we've done with Chat Please is we actually try to give each person a little bit of a subject matter. So like I did Katrina Markoff, I did an interview with her. She's the founder of Vosges Chocolat, and she's awesome. But we talked to her about chocolate. We talked to Tony Mantuano about Italian cooking, a little bit about his life, but mostly about what does it mean to be, you know, cooking Italian. I asked him, can a non-Italian be a great Italian chef? And he hemmed and hawed, and after a while he said, nope, you got to be Italian. You know, and so I interviewed Ken Fredrickson, who I've known for a long time. Ken is a master sommelier. He owns Tenzing Wines, and he was talking about, you know, what sommeliers drink. And, you know, Nick Kokonis, who started Alinea with Grant Achatz, and he has a new online ticketing service called Talk, which is really fascinating. So we mostly talk, you know. And we've done ramen and barbecue and bourbon. I talked to Rich Melman, who's fascinating. Rich Melman, I really talked about his life and Doug Stone from Hot Dogs, and of course talk to Alpina and her friend Belinda Chang, who are both sommeliers, and just talk about, you know, BYOBs and things like that. So the great thing about these interviews for me, I get to do a little research on everybody before I talk to them. So I'm learning stuff, not only about them, but I'm learning about bourbon or restaurant design or, you know, about sausage or about ticketing systems and Loire Valley wines and ramen and why you slurp and all this stuff. And I always found, even for Czech Police, I kind of found it was like, I don't know nearly as much as these guys know. But I kind of find if I find it interesting, maybe other people will find it interesting. So it's worked out for me for a while.
Was that part of it? It's just that whole curiosity thing. And have you ever done it selfishly? Like you said, you come in and you got to throw a topic at them that you've said you've had a topic that maybe you wanted to figure out, like, you know, how to replace the alternator on your car. And then you throw that at them. And
You know, I would like to know how to replace the alternator on my car. And I'm fascinated by information, and I love food, and I love the food world. But I think the way that I've gone about this is, like, when I talk to this guy, Ki Chan, who owns Strings Ramen, he's giving me, like, the history of ramen and why it's important, where, you know, some people might only know ramen as, like, the, you know, put it in your microwave and, you know, get the cheapest meal possible. He's kind of giving me the Chinese, Japanese, you know, view of that world and what it takes to make a good ramen, when you should eat it, how you should eat it, what the process is. And so I'm like, wow, I always kind of knew ramen as, like, well, ramen's hot, you know, oh, another ramen restaurant. Now I kind of know a little bit more about that whole world, and I am somewhat curious just by nature. I want to peel the layers back a couple, you know, and just see what's there.
As a person who has covered, and I've covered, like, every single food event all around the country, broadcast from, you know, everything from Aspen to New York to, you know, any place that you go. And what I always think is cool and what I love about Chat Please is that the stories are surprisingly interesting. It's not something, you know, I'm a race car driver or a movie star where you think they've got this natural kind of interest base, but yeah, they always have so many great stories to tell, whether you're talking to a Jacques Pepin or some star of the barbecue world. Have you had people that you thought you knew where you asked them a question? And I know this is what you kind of want to get out of it, is some new stuff where you're like, wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, so, you know, Chat Please, first of all, which can be found on www.com/chatplease, or you can just go to the Czech Please website, and there's Czech Please links to it. I talked to Alpina Singh. I've known Alpina for, gosh, almost 15 years. And she hosted my show for a long time, and I'm good friends with her, and I know a lot about her. And I was asking her if she needed to have any kind of science background to I said, "Do you really good in science? Is that why you're good at wine?" And she's like, "I'm okay at science, but I like look at the history of wine. I won first place in the state of California as a student in history." I'm like, "You what?" She's like, "Oh, no, I was like the top student in history in the state of California." I'm like, "How do I not know that? I've hung out with you for 15 years, and I know nothing about that." So you get stuff like that, and, you know, you learn about people's past. You know, we have Billy Lawless up this week, and Billy owns the Dawson and the Gage and Acanto, and he came here, you know, to open Irish bars. He used to work, like, in Dubai. You know, he used to work all over the world. And I'm like, and, you know, I just look at Billy as, like, yeah, just a guy who came over from Ireland, you know, decided to do some. He's like, fascinating background. And some of these folks, they kind of got to Chicago by happenstance, right? Some of them were born and raised here. And I'm always interested in that, too. How did you get here? You know, why Chicago? So it's, you know, I always learn something.
And you think about it, the stories are universally interesting. And as kind of the footprint of Czech Police expands, as more and more places just seem to be a fertile environment for that kind of entertainment, are you thinking about, you know, kind of moving Chat Please and trying to highlight and focus on some of those stories of those people that may not be in Chicago?
Oh, sure. I would absolutely love to do that. I'm trying to get a little, you know, I'm on camera for this, so even though I've done like 500 chef interviews for Czech Police, it's always off camera. This is a little bit of a different, you know, a different skill. So I'm learning as I go, and I'm trying to put some shape to it. Hopefully we'll do some podcasts on it as well. We're also doing little like 45-second versions of them. The ones online are about 4 minutes, and we're doing little 45-second versions of them on Saturday afternoon on the PBS kind of food blocks or around Check Please and some of the other food programming they have. So as it evolves and I get things settled here, yeah, I would love to take it to other cities and just kind of travel around a little bit and learn about the notable food and drink people in other cities. And maybe we'll do that down the line.
It is the kind of thing that I think is something that has been well-received wherever you do it. Certainly here in Chicago, the hometown, the home base, it is one of those kind of cornerstone programs that when I travel, people talk about and people appreciate all over the place. So for those people who want to get more information and find out, you know, where they can watch Check Please, we know it's on Channel 11 TTW, but some of those, you know, new online incarnations, where can they find you and all the stuff you're doing?
So they can find Check Please in Chicago on either checkplease.tv or wttw.com/checkplease. But if you just go to wttw.com, you'll find Check Please. And if you want to find them in the other markets, the easiest way to do it is just Google Check Please and just say, like, Check Please Bay Area or Check Please Miami or Check Please Phoenix or, you know, Vienna is not up here, and but I think Google is a pretty good resource for us. You'll find us.
You know, David, I imagine you inside of a United Nations setting with headphones on, you know, where there's an interpreter, you ask a question, there's a six-second delay, and then someone says something, then you nod, you know, that you understand. Is that how
it was all done in German. I had no idea what they were saying. And I had a nice little, you know, translators there that were helping me out. I'm like, kind of like, how's it going? And they would laugh at certain times. I'm like, yeah, it looks like it's good. You know, TV is a weird thing. TV, if you know, a lot of TV is very visual. If it looks good and it's like people are having a good time and, you know, you're learning something. And you know, of course, we go out to the restaurants afterwards and we shoot the restaurants and integrate those shots into the show. You know, it all work. It's kind of, you know, food is kind of a universal language, and people's opinions on food, I think, it changes from place to place. But, you know, the Austrians are a little more precise than we are here, you know. Their expectations are a little bit different than – I will tell you one thing that I learned in Vienna. Oh, yeah, their expectations of service and food are completely different than our expectations in Chicago. They have no problem saying, this is not done correctly, give me another. And the wait staff will, like, apologize.
Well, and the customs, too, I'm sure, as you go to different places, you've kind of got this sort of CIA dossier of here's what's acceptable, here's what's not. I mean, it's a whole new world. But people love what you're doing, certainly here in Chicago, all over the rest of the country, and, of course, in Vienna and parts unknown as well. So one more time on the website before we let you go.
So the website for Check Please, the show Check Please, is you can just go to checkplease.tv. Or you could go to wttw.com/checkplease. If you want to see Chat Please, our little mini interviews, you can go to wttw.com/chatplease.
David Mantle, thanks so much for being in WGN.
I really appreciate it. Always nice talking to you.
Smooth.
Oh, Sade, that is smooth. Now, is that too smooth for a halftime show? Does it have to be? And this is something we hadn't thought of or considered. Can it be very cool, but maybe not upbeat enough? You know, or you know, a little smooth operator would be good.
Yeah, I think they're looking for more glitz and glamour at the you know, fireworks and things. But you know,
she's glamorous.
Well,
and glitzy.
There's no question about it. But I think if you know, you listen to that song right there. If they played that at the Super Bowl, you might have some people just nodding off.
No,
no,
you're too critical, Dina.
She's great, but you know, I don't know.
I don't know. Right? What do they think?
But I think maybe if you put her in with some other performers together, I mean, you know, who knows?
312-981-7200. People are calling in and adding in their thoughts for the perfect Super Bowl halftime show. One of them, a caller from our texter from the 630, said your music bump gave me the idea. How about Smashing Pumpkins as an homage, I guess, to all the concussion talk? Too soon, Don.
That's not a good one. But someone else had some ideas that are that kind of go along the lines of the traditional, you know, marching band, the, you know, some of the impersonators, Carol Channing, from the 630, the North Korean kids who play guitar in unison, right? That would be good. I think extending the olive branch through sports to a genocidal dictator, or a boxing match
during the halftime. That would be good.
With a kangaroo. That was my suggestion.
With a kangaroo.
That was my idea. The kangaroo. Okay. Boxing match or David Copperfield magic show. That's not too strange, right? Because
well,
one
they
year,
did one back in 1989, which was a little bizarre.
But Elvis Presto, who did a card trick.
Yep.
Right? And then someone had suggested a hologram of George Carlin doing his comparison of football to baseball. So adding in comedy.
Well, you know what? I think that may be getting away from the theme that the people like to hear, which is actual music. But
well, Edward James Olmos doing
well,
narrated.
Yeah, he was narrating during a performance back in 2000, I believe. So
a text from the 815, ZZ Top and Nine Inch Nails together, right? You've got a kind of a diversity of styles there and beards. I think that's good. Well, wherever you are and when you're enjoying it, I think it's going to be great. You know, that's what it's going to be, right? It's going to be a spectacle, right? It's
gonna, oh, there's no question.
It's going to be an amazing buffet for the eyes. And for those people that aren't doing it at home, and Beth had some great thoughts and suggestions on things you can make at home. But those people are going to get out and enjoy it with friends, family, strangers, right?
Sure.
Sade Carpenter from the Tribune is here. She's got her hand on the pulse of all that. Sade, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me.
So this is great. And this is what you need, is you need someone to be your guide, you know, because this is such a big day. It's not like just going out to eat or going to see a regular game. If it's underwhelming, oh, well, there's always next week. This is the Super Bowl. There's only one of these.
Right. That's absolutely true.
So, Sade, when you came up with some of the suggestions, what were you looking for when you had to kind of put that list together of places that people should consider?
Sure. Well, I was looking for a variety of places that touch on different neighborhoods in Chicago, so not limited to Wrigleyville or Wicker Park, you know, north side or south side. I wanted to give a variety, also include the suburbs, and give people, you know, some special opportunities, some discounts, and something on the menu that goes beyond regular buffalo wings.
Regular. Now, was that one of the things that you were looking for? And were you surprised at how many places, you know, have kind of set aside dedicated Super Bowl things going on?
Yeah, I actually was surprised. And, you know, we look at Oyster Bar, for example, in Lincoln Park. They are launching their lunch service on Super Bowl Sunday, especially. And from that day on, they'll also have lunch. But, you know, I was surprised at the restaurants that are doing special menus and special discounts just for the Super Bowl. It shows how big it is.
Well, let's talk and bring up a couple of the different ones that you highlighted. Maybe the Oyster, well, that was pretty interesting. Or some of the other ones from different areas of the city that you thought out of your list that you thought really stood out even within that list.
Sure. So in Lincoln Park, we have Oyster Bar, which is launching their lunch service on Super Bowl Sunday. They're going to have some traditional, you know, seafood dishes, Maine lobster roll. They also have a crispy one-sided red snapper with a Thai chili sauce. So fans can head over there as early as noon to have lunch and then stick around to watch the game later. There's also Mercat a la Plancha. So if you're looking for a Spanish meal and you want pork and you want a lot of it, you can do a whole or a half roasted pig.
And
wow. But you mean at your table? You'd be like, I'll have the pig. Really?
You'll have the whole pig.
Hey, what are you going to have?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. And it comes with Spanish sides. This is a bit of a splurge, though. It's $220 for a half pig or $440 for the whole. So.
Oh, no problem.
Hey, it's the Super Bowl.
You only do
Sade.
It once a year.
Super Bowl. Gotta go big. Gotta go big, right?
When you brought up, like, Shaw's Crab House was one, and I love those guys, and they're great, too. It's really neat because you usually think of, and you brought it up, you wanted to kind of showcase some things beyond just wings, but you think about those kind of foods, you know, nachos, wings, and things, and you're seeing a lot of seafood selections that you've got.
Yeah, definitely. At Shaw's Crab House, this location in particular is the Schaumburg location, and they're doing a game day brunch, so not necessarily the evening dinner, but if you want to get up early, head over in the morning, you can get brunch, different selection of items for $55, but if you do want to sleep in instead, they have an extended happy hour in their oyster bar, so half off oysters, cocktails, noon to 6.
I thought you were going to say, if you do want to sleep in, they'll bring it to you.
That's service right there.
You can still get the service.
One of the other selections on here that you highlighted is right here, located at Trib Tower, Howells and Hood. And I hadn't this had not come to mind, but this makes, I mean, there's nothing better than like chili for a game day snack.
Yep, absolutely. And chili is perfect for the winter season. So Howells and Hood, while the Panthers and Broncos are facing off, they're going to have three chefs who are competing in their third annual chili cook-off. So guests can pay only $12, sample three chilies from three different restaurants, and then they'll have a chance to vote on the best chili.
See, look at this. This is a great selection and such a variety. You've got oysters, you've got chili, you've got an entire pig. You know, you could do. So Sade, what, like, as you go through this, and I'm sure as you were putting this story together, everyone's going to pick one place. Were you like, wow, I know where I'm going. What are you going to be doing? Are you going to be on the couch? What are you going to do?
You know, I will honestly probably be on the couch, but taco joint with the bottomless tacos and margaritas and beer, that sounded pretty appealing to me.
Yes.
You can't really beat that. You can't.
So, Sade, let the listeners know where they can go online. Of course, you're with the Chicago Tribune, but people, you know, where they can find you and get this whole list for themselves and kind of make their own decisions.
Absolutely. So to view the entire list of selections for the Super Bowl, you can go to chicagotribune.com/dining.
chicagotribune.com/dining. So Sade, we would be remiss if we did not ask you, halftime show or national anthem or both, like what would be your kind of dream act for that?
Oh, my gosh. You know, honestly, I really liked Bruno Mars when he did the halftime show.
He did.
He was really good.
He's a consummate performer. He's so good. And I would love to see him again.
And you will. You'll see him on Sunday. He's gonna be, so just more Bruno Mars. You know what? And you bring up a really great point. Because when they first announced that Bruno Mars was going to do it, and this was, what, maybe two, three years ago, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
He was such a young performer. He did not have that many songs, and normally it was, you know, it's The Who, right? Or it's, you know, it's
somebody who's
Paul McCartney.
Yeah, that's gonna, songs,
that,
right?
That'll do kind of a montage of like 10 like really huge hits. And I was like, why Bruno Mars? And he came out, he absolutely killed it. He's awesome
in
everything he does.
Absolutely. 100%.
All right, one more time with the website before we let you go. And are you making your own snacks? You said you'll probably be at home for some of it. Are you gonna
Can't have a whole pig, maybe pigs in a blanket.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how to roast an entire pig.
There
so
you go.
Pigs in a blanket, I can do.
ChicagoTribune.com/dining
and
Super Bowl special. She is Sade Carpenter. Thanks so much for getting up and helping kind of frame out our Super Bowl weekend.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Sade. See, that's good. That's what you need, is you need people out there on the front lines that are exploring, you know, whole pig, half pig opportunities,
sure.
Bottomless tacos, oysters.
I never would have known there would be so many, you know, such a diversity of options out there now.
I mean,
we're in a city with, you know, so many restaurants. I just never really, to narrow it down, that would be a difficult task, I think.
Well, you know that those things are going to be available, but it's really cool to see. And we talked about it, you know, as an event that has transcended a game, right, has become a national holiday and really kind of a national food holiday, where, you know, where so many restaurants are having specials and contests and everything on the food side. And, you know, Beth had mentioned that, you know, it's the Super Bowl. She's working on it now, and she has no concern whatsoever.
Who's playing?
Who's going to win?
Nothing.
I think when that happens, everybody wins.
Right. Well, especially your stomach wins. There's no question about that.
Well, we're hoping that people are going to win when they see the halftime show, not only this year, but in the future. And 312-981-7200, people are giving their selections. And Liberace was one, and a Las Vegas Review that could be a little risque. If it's a hologram.
Yes, I'm ready to play.
You could do the Dixie Chicks, right? You know, maybe them, and then maybe Waylon Jennings, and maybe
Willie Nelson could come in there, right?
Yeah, somebody
old
else.
Old country theme.
Harry Connick Jr. That wouldn't be terrible.
No.
But it wouldn't be. I mean, I think him and like maybe as that homage to Frank Sinatra, maybe, and Roger, that would be the thing, is like Harry Connick Jr. Does a little bit of a song, then intros Sinatra.
Right.
That would, you know, from Roger's suggestion. I think that would be it. Well, 312-981-7200. You can add your thoughts. We're going to talk with Dino in just a little bit about the betting side, some of those things, and we'll share some of the entertainment side as well. It is Dane Neal in until 5 for Matt Bubala, 720 WGN. Nice. 720 WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio until 5 a.m. Dino Tiberi to my right. We've got Sean in the booth, and it had to be you. That would be Harry Connick Jr., right? So that's him, and it had to be you. He could serenade, specifically serenade Peyton Manning. So it had to be you. Just one time you. So for the game itself, I mean, there's always a bunch of storylines, right? There's always there's Cam Newton with an MVP worthy season leading a team that has never won a Super Bowl. You know, they had the best record, you know, in all of football. To a point, and there's so many cool Bear connections. You know, they got Ron Rivera there,
right?
You know, from the 85 Bears. You've got Greg Olson. You know,
Tillman.
You've got so many guys. You know, Jared Allen. I don't really think of Jared Allen as a Bear.
He briefly landed in Chicago and then left.
He was underwhelming, right? While he was here, but great for him. You know, this is a guy that's had a great career, and you always like to see that. You know, when you've got a guy that has had a great career, get a chance, however it happens, you know, to play in and potentially like win a Super Bowl. So you've got all those storylines on the Panther side, and then on the Broncos side, there's really just one. It's Peyton Manning.
Manning the swan song, or what's going to happen with him? Is this going to be it for him? Is he going to retire after this game, win or lose, or you know what's going to happen from there? You know, that's going to be a compelling story. I'm sure they're going to touch on it plenty during the game.
Well, you know, and you wonder how it's going to go, because you look at the last time he got to the Super Bowl. This is a guy who's, you know, arguably, you know, certainly one of, but maybe the greatest quarterback that we've ever had, you know, and he's been able to do it not only from the, you know, from the physical talent side, but he's, you know, in Indianapolis, wasn't he basically the offensive coordinator for the team?
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, changed plays in the line of scrimmage, and, you know, his game was, you know, obviously a lot different then. Now he's more of a game manager. You know, now it's the defense that's kind of stepped
Steve
up.
Walsh.
Yeah, he's just, you know, it's not that I don't think he can make big plays. I just don't, I think they're going to try not to rely on him to carry them, you know, by himself. I mean, the defense is going to be the main focal point if they can slow down the Panthers' offense and, you know, see what they'll be able to do from an offensive standpoint, you know, once they're able to, if they can keep Cam Newton under control, that's going to be the key to the game. But, you know, if it gets into a shootout, that's probably not going to favor Denver, even though
yeah.
You know, we know that what Manning's done in the past. I'm not so sure that he's got the ability to do that with all of the injuries he's had in the last few years at this point.
Does it really, do you think he retires? You know, this was kind of a season where he, you know, pun intended, and absolutely literally like limped through the season, you know, trying to stay on the field, trying to stay, you know, slightly uninjured. I mean, is this the kind of thing where he looks and says like, hey, it's been a great career. He has won a Super Bowl. He has played in many. He has set so many records that win, lose, or draw, this is probably it.
I think there's a certain thing with, you know, football players. They don't really want to let it go. I think if they win, I think he retires. There's nothing else to prove at that point. I mean, he's already won a Super Bowl with the Colts. If he wins this game, you know, to me, that's the – how else can you go out? I mean, you know, come back next year with another team, because more than likely Denver's not going to keep him because of, you know, for salary cap reasons, and, you know, his contract's going to be up, and I don't see where he comes back next year unless he wants to come back at a really reduced rate. I think this is it for him in Denver no matter what. And then
what other team takes a chance on him? But you know what? Other teams that some, didn't
there
got,
will
got
be.
Burned, right? Because
right. Somebody would do it if they lose. I think pride-wise, he may want to come back and see if, prove it for one more go around. But it's got to be the right situation for him.
Yeah, when you look at when the Colts, and I agreed with the decision. You know, he missed a whole year his neck. They didn't know if he would ever be able to play again, much less at the level that he was. And so you kind of had to let him go, right? You had Andrew Luck, and you kind of got to let him go. And so he goes off and then makes it to the Super Bowl, proves him wrong. Who knows if he'd want to try to stick around one more time if he was feeling good. So the storylines are there. That's going to be really interesting and great. And Peyton Manning has a lot of fans because I think mostly of the Nationwide commercials, right? Because chicken parm, you taste so good. I mean, it's great, right? It's
Peyton,
genius.
You should retire now.
So you know that there's going to be the entertainment side. He will probably be in some of the Super Bowl commercials. We are going to talk about some of those in just a minute. But throughout the course of the program, people have been weighing in by text and by phone, 312-981-7200, with their thoughts on who should be the perfect, you know, halftime show for the Super Bowl. Tina Turner with David Bowie as the hologram. That's kind of a too soon hologram, but maybe. I think that would be great. Cheech and Chong would be good.
Cheech and Chong. All right.
We brought up George Carlin.
Yeah, sure. You can throw a comedian in there now again, just as curveball.
If you can have an Elvis impersonator doing card tricks, I think everything's available, right? You know, some of the comedians are big. But comedy is one of the main things for some of the best Super Bowl commercials of all time. Again, 312-981-7200. You can call and text in with your favorite Super Bowl commercials of all time. They're not all going to be the same.
No.
But those are the kind of things. And thank goodness for the DVR, because that was... Otherwise, there was no time to go to the bathroom, right? Because the commercials were almost...
You didn't want to miss anything.
The commercials were almost as big, certainly as sometimes, for some of those lopsided games that we had a number of years ago. The commercials were the best part of it. So your thoughts on those, you guys can text those in, call them in. You can talk to Sean, and we'll get you on the air to kind of share your favorite Super Bowl commercial, if you remember them. I'll run through a couple maybe to pique your memories, and of course, we'll get to more after the break. Number 10. Dino, a fast food chain, Carl's Jr., is notorious for its racy ads, naughty, sexual, I guess, starring the likes of Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian, and Kate Upton. 2015 Super Bowl, when the Seattle Seahawks lost to New England Patriots, was deemed one of the most risque to date. The ad stars Charlotte McKinney, who appears to be in her birthday suit, walking through a market as she takes a bite of a cheeseburger. That's the number 10 of all time?
I don't see that one.
Okay. I don't think so either, but you never know. Now, here is one that I think we all remember, and I think that we all really like. The most shared Super Bowl commercial of all time. Your thoughts? You know, any prediction?
Goodness.
The most what?
Most
shared.
Shared.
Yeah, so maybe people...
Oh, I'd say it's the... didn't Apple, you know, their ad...
The one with the wall kind of thing from a long time
where
ago.
She threw the hammer at the big video screen. Wasn't that during the Super Bowl?
It was, and that was one of those iconic spots. But Roger, unfortunately, that was before the age of sharing. How would you share it?
Well, they could be sharing it now.
Well, that throws out my guess of where's the beef, I guess.
You know,
I
don't... There were courtroom sketches, you know, like, here, take a look at this.
They could have done it since the computer and the internet came. Everyone says, wow, do you remember this one? You know how people do
yes,
that.
No, you're right. And I'm sure it's up there. You can YouTube it. And that was one of those. And that was one of the first, I think, right, Roger? And Dino, that was one of the first ones where people were like, geez, these commercials, you don't want to miss them.
Yeah.
Number 9 is the most shared Super Bowl commercial of all time is a little Darth Vader who tries using the Force on the keyless ignition on the Volkswagen Passat. And that was from 2011. We all remember that, right? Dun, dun, dun,
dun. That was so great where the father was using the remote control and the son dressed up as Darth Vader kind of reached his hand out and the father hits it and the kid's like, wow, I have the power.
This works.
Yeah.
The Force.
That was very cute.
So that one was great. We remember that. Number 8, Super Bowl viewers love the Snickers commercial featuring Betty White, right? And I think Abe Vigoda might have been in it, too.
The late Abe.
Back before we had to hologram him, which, of course, we would do that. We would do that. Now he gets tackled while playing football. The ad aired during the 2010 game when New Orleans Saints beat the Indianapolis Colts, Peyton, and earned their first Super Bowl title. We remember that. You're like, you're not yourself when you're hungry.
Right.
You know, Snickers. But that one was a great one.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was a good one, too. Absolutely.
And then number 7, before we go to break, Hank the Clydesdale misses the cut for the Budweiser team. But after training to music from the movie Rocky, he finally makes it a year later and high fives his Dalmatian coach. The commercial aired during Super Bowl in 2008, New York Giants versus the Patriots. They defeated them in a close match. But yeah, those Budweiser commercials
are always classic. How the horses playing against each other.
Or the kick and field goals.
Kick and field goals, yeah, that was a good one too.
Yeah, those were all great. 312-981-7200 for people to suggest their favorite Super Bowl commercial. I'm wondering, was the Mean Joe Green one, was that a Super Bowl commercial or was that just a commercial?
I think that was an ongoing one.
Yeah, I think it was just a regular commercial. I'm not sure that played.
And they just reunited. There was a story about that. the kid and Mean Joe got together for some kind of publicity event.
Wow.
Did
they reenact the tossing of the jersey? Probably, right?
I don't remember seeing that, but I do remember seeing a brief mentions that they had just gotten together within the past week. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what the details are. I'll look it up.
We've all seen it a number of times, but Sean had mentioned that started out as a Super Bowl commercial. You know, some of them, they're mm-hmm. great commercials, and then, boom, they've got a life of their own.
Sure.
Right. Outside of just the sharing that you could do with the courtroom reporter. No, I'm just kidding. We can do that. All right.
Mr. Green?
Yeah.
You need any help?
Mm-mm.
Want my Coke?
No, no.
Really, you can have it.
Okay. Thanks.
That's the way it should be. I like to see
you around.
The whole world smiling with me.
Coca-Cola
has light. Have a Coke in it.
Wow, smile. Thanks, Mean Joe.
WGN, Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio until 5 a.m., kicking off kind of your Super Bowl weekend and getting into all the memories. The Super Bowl is more than just a game. It is great food. It is friends. It is family. It is memories. It is incredible commercials. And Sean just played that one. Thanks for pulling that up out of the netherworlds, out of the sharing universe.
That's right. Right? Mean Joe Green.
And that was great. Is that the kind of thing? I remember that commercial. That was y'all, as a kid, you would always hope or wish that you'd have a Coke ready to hand to some celebrity.
Sure.
Right? So that they would take their shirt off and hand you that.
Thanks, Mean Joe.
Thanks, Mean Joe. But that was a great one. Now, who had mentioned, one of us, I guess, mentioned that that they kind of redid that commercial?
Right, Roger was talking about that.
Oh, that they
the
had
news.
Gotten together for something. I'm not sure if they actually redid the commercial. I mean, Mean Joe, he probably needs like a walker nowadays to get around.
It's nice to see Roger.
They high-fived each other and walked away.
Because, you know, Roger, for many years, there was a lot of acrimony, and they were split up, right? There was,
yeah.
They were not, yeah. They couldn't get them back together, much like maybe.
Me and Joe walked off the set. That's it. I'm never going to see that kid again.
I'm not working with him
58 takes later, for crying out loud.
But here we go. Here it goes. January 28th. This is from people.com. It's been 40 years since 9-year-old fan shared his Coke with Pittsburgh Steelers star Mean Joe Green, one of the most famous Super Bowl commercials. Now the unlikely duo are reunited in a new video honoring the iconic ad and their enduring bond. In the clip, which was shot for the upcoming Super Bowl's greatest commercials that will air on CBS, the NFL legend and the all-grown-up Tommy Okun, O-K-O-N, meet at Apogee Stadium in Denton, Texas. As the two reminisce about filming the Clio Award-winning commercial, it aired during the Super Bowl in 1980. Green recalls the 18 bottles of Coke he had
it's now
drink
Diet Coke, Roger.
To get it,
to do it
right.
Again.
Exactly. I've got video 18, on it here.
18 bottles. Oh, man.
I've got video on it here. You want to hear a little
how
bit?
I just looked at him.
Oh, he's got it. Oh, that's the which I'm trying to see what's airing here. Something's already playing on my
Super Bowl's greatest commercial 2016 will air February 2nd.
Oh, here you go. Thank you. I'll shut that one off and I'll turn this one on.
It will air a month ago.
Here we go. I'm sorry. Oh, and of course we've got a commercial before the commercial.
Well, there it is.
I'll wait till this is over. Here, ask why he thinks people connected with the commercial. Green points his finger at now the grown-up kid. He says, I don't know
you're
about
50
that.
Years old.
So Green blames the kid as being the reason why it was so popular.
Well, no, it was a cute kid. It was a great moment. There's not very
here
much.
Here we go. Oh, no, they're going to show the commercial again.
Created one of the greatest commercials in Super Bowl history. Now, 36 years later, we're reuniting the Steeler and the kid.
No way.
Right here on this field today.
It's great to see
you. Good seeing you, man. Good seeing you.
Get away from me.
The kid's almost as big as Mean Joe.
I don't know what happened.
Why do people connect with this commercial?
He's pointing at the kid.
Easy listening, smooth jazz.
Yeah, right.
The people that created it wrote a great commercial that
really tells a story.
I just want
what did they write? There wasn't much dialogue.
Hey,
right?
Hey, Mean Joe, come on, that's genius.
So they did meet. They did get together.
Well, you wonder with any of those things. Of course, you know, Mean Joe Green, famous Pittsburgh Steeler, Hall of Fame career, yeah. 4 Super Bowls, all that kind of stuff. And so he's not, you know, leaning on that commercial, you know, for his success. But you wonder for the kid, like how many ways he utilized that commercial.
He's a
young man, like hey. At the bar. Hey, remember that commercial? Yeah, right here.
Yeah. I'm the guy. Well, you probably like applied to Harvard. You know, what are your accomplishments? Hey, I was in Mean Joe Green commercial. Oh, we want him.
Well,
yeah.
Or you wonder if it all turned dark. You know, and there was he had like child actor syndrome, and he's under a viaduct somewhere.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Because you know, just
empty bottles of Coke around him.
All the fame. Yeah, more than 18 bottles.
Yeah, right.
Who made Mean Joe Green drink 18 bottles of Coke? Right. This guy.
I never recovered from that. That was. And you know, then I came back, right, and then he's fine now and selling insurance, which is great. All right, so that is the kind of thing that we're talking about. People are calling and texting in 312-981-7200. We had the Mean Joe Green commercial has been very popular. The Budweiser horse in training,
yep.
That we talked about, or the horse in training to kick the field goal and want to do a wide right. And then someone says that Hank Williams Jr., the guy who did the Are You Ready for Some Football, was that a Super Bowl commercial? Or just like
I don't
the start
recall
of Monday
that.
Night
well,
Football?
That was a Monday Night Football, but I don't think it, I don't remember it being in a Super Bowl, but maybe I missed out on that one.
Okay. So at number 6 all time, and take them with a grain of salt, you'll have your own thoughts. You could definitely text in with what you think should be on this list. E-Trade's now infamous talking baby ads debuted at the Super Bowl in 2007.
Oh yeah, and
those
you
are
couldn't
funny.
Get enough of those.
Right. And for those people who may not remember, it in a crib, the baby is secretly a financial genius using the E-Trade app, and so he has his. I think it, now, Dino, does he have his own smartphone, or is he borrowing his parents, or is he?
I think he started out with a pad, like an iPad.
Right. He's got,
that he was working on, and then didn't on one of the versions, the parent walks into the room and takes the thing from him.
Right, which
that was at a later commercial through the series,
which caused the crash of 2008.
Yeah. Real estate went south.
Right.
Also at the same time.
Oh, okay, so that is number 6. Number 5, the commercial was Budweiser's original tribute to September 11th terrorist attacks. It aired just once during the 2002 Super Bowl when New England defeated the St. Louis Rams. It doesn't say exactly what it was, but it was a Budweiser. Yeah, there's a. I mean, the downer, kind of, right? We were all having fun, and then,
yeah,
and then that happened. So you can see these commercials aren't just not only for marketing purposes, well,
historical
and not only,
significance with
yeah.
that one.
Oh, yeah. And that was huge, right?
Absolutely.
That was the country coming back. It was such a big deal and such an important way, right, to have everybody kind of get back to normal, get back to the things that they loved. And of course, the Super Bowl is one of those things. Number 4, a Coca-Cola delivery man is caught red-handed cheating
drinking
with Pepsi.
Pepsi, I remember
in
that one.
1996 commercial. What? Well, which is, I think, a cardinal sin.
Yeah, how do you do that? That's like going, that's like drinking a Budweiser and then all of a sudden you're drinking a Miller Lite.
Or a Stroh's.
Or an Ice House.
You've got the
Ice House. It's like a crazier.
The Stroh's there, the Red Dog, right? These are the beers.
Or Milwaukee's worst. But anyway.
How about a Natural Light?
Natty.
Natural Light never really, and I think if they would have done it, it could have turned the entire brand around, but they never, or Meisterbrau, really didn't get the funds together for that Super Bowl commercial, which could have changed everything. Imagine, you know, maybe a couple older people tossing Mean Joe a Meisterbrau.
Or an unnatural light.
Right. Number 3, these two young boys can't take their eyes off the redesigned Pepsi can, which also happens to be held by supermodel Cindy Crawford. And the first ad ran during the 92 Super Bowl. Buffalo Bills lost 1 of 4 to the Washington Redskins. That was a big one.
Yeah, that's, God, how's that 23 years ago or 24 years ago already with that one?
I was already losing my memory then. I don't remember.
Oh, we've got a couple more plus your thoughts as well when we come back. The best Super Bowl commercials of all time. You can add them at 312-981-7200 as well as your thoughts. And so many people have added theirs on the Optimum Super Bowl halftime show. It's Dane Neal in until 5 on 720 WGN.
Let's go down to the locker rooms.
You guys are the king. Now let's go turn out their lights.
A lot of emotion bottled up in there. The cans are going wild.
23.
Bud Bowl.
I thought that was the Meisterbrau Bowl. Meisterbrau versus Stroh's.
Sounds the beer refreshing.
these guys should get, they should be the halftime show. All of the beer mascots.
You know, you get, yeah, why not?
You get the bear, maybe Joe Camel. Just go complete vice. All right, 720 WGN, Dave Neal in until 5. We've got Dino Tiberi to my right, and we're finishing up some of the talk with the commercial. Such a big part of Super Bowl Sunday. Again, thank goodness for the DVRs. We can go ahead and record them and rewind them, and so people can run to the kitchen and run to the bathroom and do everything that they can and still not miss anything. Some of the best ones of all time. The Mean Joe one was still, right? You know, it was so good that they're doing it over again. Roger had played that, and we did get a text from the 815 saying the dark side of the Mean Joe commercial. This is what you do. You don't just redo the old one. You update it
and make it real.
And bring in some of the sports personalities of the present for it. It's the dark side of the Mean Joe commercial. The kid is sitting under the bridge cloaked in the old jersey, which is very stained at this point. The camera pans and Johnny Football is sitting next to him.
Oh, boy. Talk about the train going off the track.
You could use a cold one, Johnny. Thanks, Mean Danny. Because Danny, at this point, through all the adversity, has turned mean. Just kidding. He's still nice. Don't worry about it.
Oh, man.
All right, number two on the list. This iconic commercial is the nod to George Orwell. Look at this, Roger.
Huh?
1984 and the world's introduction to the Apple Macintosh computer. It aired nationally only once during the third quarter of the Super Bowl in 84. Raiders pummeled. Now, that, you don't hear that. Raiders pummeled. Usually
pummeled
it's
a Redskin.
Pummeled Raiders.
Right? They get arrested for that?
Yeah. Well, sure. No,
assault and battery?
It was a different times, Roger.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Different times. The Redskins, the ad was directed by Ridley Scott, who went on to direct a number of award-winning films like Thelma and Louise, Gladiator, and Black Hawk Down. So they had some real Hollywood street cred working.
Star power.
And making that the number two most famous or most beloved or most certainly, you know, one of the more
watched
commercials of all time. So for number one, anybody want to make a suggestion?
Wow. So the Apple commercial wasn't number one.
Wasn't number one. Mm. Well, you know, I haven't read number one. It may not make sense that it is. It's like there was a Dorito commercial, not the one you're thinking of. All right. So number one.
Okay.
Oh, well. A little anticlimactic. Guess which one it is.
Was it the
Doritos?
No, it's the Mean Joe Green one.
Oh, okay.
Which we have not mentioned until now.
We haven't talked about that at all tonight.
Well, but yeah, think about it.
Threw me off.
With all the attention that we gave it, I guess there isn't anything bigger than that, which makes us, I guess, in the norm as far as the thought process.
I'd like to see the sales figures.
For Coke?
For Coke after that commercial aired.
Oh, come on. I mean, Coke is, the Super Bowl is an afterthought. It's like, I guess we got to do it. You know, it's not even a big deal. I mean, I'm sure that they do it. Does it translate? I mean, Coke?
I think it does. Well, if it's cost, well, it didn't cost $5 million then. It's costing $5 million now, but it was the most expensive, always has been, the most expensive 30 seconds on television. Because the audience is worldwide.
Now, Dino, what did you say? Is it 5 million now?
For
30 seconds?
Yeah. That's what Roger just said. It's 5 million for 30 seconds.
Can you imagine if you were the account representative and your boss comes up to you and says, okay, Super Bowl, who's got the Coke account? And it's like you call in from Acapulco, you know, because you're getting a percentage of the sale.
It's a no-brainer there.
You know, I just talked to the Coke guys. They'll take three commercials. 15 million. What's your cut of that as a salesperson?
I don't know. Well, we got to work on it. You've worked on some really visionary ideas for the halftime show, Roger. We've shared some. I think we work on, let's get the MyPillow folks to get in, buy three ads. That's one for you, one for me, one for Dino.
Yeah.
And we'll pull in. And we got to get, I guess, them by four so Sean gets a commission too. And we're good.
And I got the perfect commercial. Okay. Here we go. Halftime. Live in each locker room, all the players are resting on a MyPillow.
How about they're late? Bam. They don't come out for the second half, right, and they go in because they're
so
asleep.
Comfortable.
It's so comfortable.
Exactly.
Well, I don't want to go out on a limb, but you know, maybe during the halftime show, the people are using the MyPillows when Coldplay comes out.
I don't think they need a MyPillow for that.
Look, they're passing out MyPillows. No one has slept.
No,
there.
They're just passing out.
Thank you.
Well, by the time you've had all your food and then Coldplay, you're right to the MyPillow you go.
I want to say, you guys, All right, so enjoy the commercials, everybody, for sure. And then, but for those people that were just entertainment of the game, entertainment of some great food, entertainment of some really innovative commercials, they need to be betting on it.
Well, you got to get your wallet out at some point because this is one of the most highly wagered sporting events in the year. So
what are some of those things people are betting on? Like right now, what is the line on the game? I mean, the
latest line I saw was 5.5. That Carolina was favored by 5.5.
Okay.
The over-under was 45.5. So that's going to be right. My prediction is I think Carolina will cover the spread. I don't know about the over-under, though. I think the game may be under. It may be under the 45. I'm thinking maybe, 24 to 17, something like that. Or it's close, but it's not going to go over. I don't think it's going to be I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game just because I think Denver's defense is really good.
Well, we've seen a couple times, where the Panthers have gotten out to big leads and then, lost them, right?
Right.
But I think the key is because of Peyton's situation and the fact that they do have a good defense, that probably the game plan for the Broncos is keep it low.
Manage the game. Let your defense do do a lot of work. Try to, keep Carolina contained and hopefully you keep the score down. Because if it gets into a situation where Carolina,
it's like a shootout.
Yeah, then
there's no bullets in the Peyton Manning shootout.
I don't see Manning being able to. And maybe I'm totally off base. It's not like I've been a right on in the last couple of Super Bowls anyway. As Dawn and I have wagers every season on these Super Bowls, and I've lost the last four of them. So yeah, it's not good. Dinners had to have been expensive dinners have been lost by me because I picked the wrong team, so. But I hope I'm right. Just for the fact that with the Chicago connections, I hope Carolina gets.
Yeah. I think it would. Well, I think that's one great thing when it's not your team or a team that you're invested in or you haven't put a big bet on, on the outcome of the game. It's great. There's great stories on both sides. They usually try to tell those, throughout the course of the 17-hour pregame show, which is right. Starting right about now. And they try to share those. So I think it's going to be cool no matter what. I just hope it's a good game, right? We hope that it's one of those competitive games where there's some drama. It isn't a blowout on one side or the other. And I think that would be great. But on the betting side, yep. What are some of the interesting things
these
that people...
prop bets, I'm reading through this list that I pulled up. Will Peyton Manning be seen crying at any point during the broadcast? 6-1, yes.
I think either way, right? When he realizes it's the end of a career and he says football, he's walking off the field, I think he cries. I think it's tears of joy as he embraces his brother and his dad in a group hug if he wins.
Right. Will the Panthers player who scores the first touchdown give the football to a boy or a girl? That's been their thing all year long. When they score, they hand the football to someone in the stands. Okay. Is it a boy or a girl? And that's a bet. You can make a bet on that scenario. And
I don't know if this makes any sense, but what do you do? Because, gambling is an exact science, in a way, right? Someone's got to get paid and someone's got to lose their money. What if they hand it to a boy or a girl and they're not exactly – maybe it's like Pat from
– you're not sure. Right? I don't know how that one works out.
You don't know if it's a guy or a girl.
Right. I don't know how they pay that one out in Vegas. I'm not so sure about that. Yeah. But, then there's how many times will Archie Manning be shown on TV during the broadcast?
A lot.
Over under 1.5, it says here. I got to believe it's going to be higher than that. What color will the liquid be that's poured on the winning coach? It goes from as simple as the coin flip to these radical bets. And I'm
what would qualify in your book as radical? Before you get to that, Sean had mentioned that he has some insider information. Of course, we've given great business tips, right? We've given a lot of different information that if you use it, it could make your life different. And Sean had mentioned that that first ball has maybe been promised to one of Snoop's football kids. So, right?
Yeah.
And they're all...
Cam promised it to Snoop during the press conference.
Really?
Yesterday.
Come on.
He said he has his team in the end zone.
So if it's in the right end zone, or does he have people in both end zones?
That I don't know.
That's what you do.
Well, I think you got to cover that. You have people in both end zones, so make sure you get it right. So that bet shouldn't even be on the board.
Yeah, but didn't they put the Broncos logo in both end zones? by mistake. Did you see that?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did during the week.
How does that?
Hey, we're out of blue paint.
The left hand isn't talking to the right hand. I bet you it's two different guys.
Well, and they like didn't out of blue paint. Yeah, well, you use it in both end zones, you dummy.
That's like that one commercial where they had the older guy doing the logo in the end zone, and instead of Chiefs, he wrote Chefs. Yeah, he's like, dang, now. Remember that? I didn't think that could happen in real life.
Yeah, it did, though. It's really just amazing to
That's
me.
That's hilarious.
That would be like putting the NFL, you know.
How is that possible?
When they put the NFL logo on, putting in an NLF.
You know, it's not like it's not like a click of a button. It probably takes a couple hours.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, buddy, down at the end, what you doing? Oh, just putting a logo on. All right, you too.
Putting the S on Broncos here. Wait a minute. We already did this on the other end. What the heck's going on out there?
You said do the Broncos. I just kept going. Wow.
You know, there's
how do you spell Panthers? Broncos.
Right.
Okay, got it. Thanks. Yep.
So, for those people that had the commercials, that's great. If you have a bet, maybe you want to share that, you can do that as well. Of course, halftime, we've been doing that the whole show. 312-981-7200. Someone brought up the Budweiser frogs.
Yeah.
That was a great series.
I'm surprised that did not make it. And then
at all?
No, it wasn't. I didn't read it.
The top 10.
One of the listeners from a 562 area code did that, and of course you had the "What's up, guys." That was a pretty good one. I mean, Budweiser's been doing a pretty good job on that, as has.
Wasn't there one that was "How you doing"? Was that another one?
That was Joey from Friends.
No, it was a commercial. How you doing?
One of my relatives.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey,
how you doing?
How you doing?
See, this is why you do the show. Right?
Bud Wines.
Oh, that's awesome. Love it. 720 WGN, Dane Neal. Allstate Showcase Studio in for another maybe 20 minutes or so, and that is one of the forgotten gems, one of the commercials that everybody kind of knew, loved, enjoyed. It didn't make the top 10, according to...
Yeah, hard to believe that, because that was one of those ones you don't... It's hard to forget that.
And there was even a request from the 815 for us to recreate that. Roger, are you ready? I'll start it off.
Yeah, okay.
Dino, you do the next one, and the finale... You know, the culmination of the entire thing, Roger, that would be you. So we'll do it. Are you ready? Bud?
Wise.
Nice.
Smooth as silk, Roger.
Oh, that's awesome. All right.
You're lucky I was half paying attention because I was talking to somebody up here while you guys were talking. I was going, they're doing something. I'm not sure what, but...
It's very smooth.
Thank you.
You know, if it's not done right...
He's a true pro.
You take it for granted, but if it's not done right, you know it. You know it.
I'm a licensed professional.
That's right.
312-981-7200. Now, here's people are thinking football. Not everybody's into football. I know that sounds hard to believe, even if you're into just general gambling, right?
We've given people. Yeah.
if you're into production values on commercials, that's one thing that people are enjoying. If you're into singing and singers, there's been some suggestions.
We've covered that.
That if a Liberace was there, that people after the halftime show would just leave.
We could pull the piano for him, too.
Sure.
they would do that.
And Billy Joel all together.
But some people are thinking, hey, you know, and this is news that Roger's been talking about, and then, of course, Cub fans have been excited about it. Mm-hmm. You know, the season itself, and of course,
13 days
till
pitchers and catchers report.
Okay. Pitchers and catchers reporting. Before you know it, Roger, they'll be here and we'll be ready to watch exciting Cub baseball.
Well, Harry, you know, you got to make sure you got a full supply of Budweiser.
There's no question about that.
Yeah, I got to tell you a story. And I remember when you guys were on the last time, and I was doing a commercial for the city of Chicago. I was working for the city of Chicago at the time. And we were doing a commercial for the neighborhood festivals. And we got the Cubs to allow us to get Steve Stone and Harry Carey to record a commercial. It was a great commercial that never saw the light of day because the city says, oh, no, you can't. He's holding a can of beer. We can't be promoting that. And so I have a copy somewhere at home.
Wow.
But it took, I don't know, maybe 10 takes because it required Harry to pick up a telephone. So once he picked it up backwards.
Hey, I spelled name backward and also pick up phones backward.
I know, and then you forgot part of the script.
Well, that was that's not unusual, Roger.
And then Steve's 10-foot-long cigar got in your way one time.
Every time with those El Turnos. I don't know what's wrong with him.
So we were up there, and he's up there waiting, and we were getting things put together. But so before we started recording, and he reached back. He was sitting at the desk, facing the field, and without looking back, he reaches back, pops open one of those mini fridges packed with Budweiser.
Well, was there any doubt about that, Roger?
No doubt at all. I would have been surprised if it was a different brand.
For all you do, this Bud's for you.
Now, didn't he, of course, Cub fan, Bud man, you know,
yeah,
such a great pitch man for that, but didn't he enjoy a Falstaff now and then?
Well, listen, Falstaff was the beer of choice when I was with the White Sox, along with some Chicken Unlimited chicken.
Chicken Unlimited. Well, here's the thing that we're going to be doing for the last bit. We're going to talk a little Cubs, going to talk some Arrieta. A sigh of relief. Did you have any doubts that this would happen? Of course not. And people who give a call in, 312-981-7200, or and share their Cubs excitement for Arrieta, or any kind of thoughts, predictions on the season. It's going to be a good one. Vegas says the Cubs, I don't know if that's the kiss of death, so the Cubs are going to win the World Series, or you can text in too with your thought. Everybody who does that for the rest of the program is going to be entered to win two tickets to go to the game with Dino and Dane on May 10th. We're going to be out in Mass at the Cubs versus Padres May 10th at the Friendly Confines.
We'll be out there in force, and it'll be a great great evening of baseball with Dane and myself at the ballpark.
Yeah, and 100 of our closest, our very closest friends. And that's going to be, and it's a terrace reserve seat, so inside the, you know, the third to first, you know, decent seats. Not incredibly great, but good, and it'll be some good company. So yeah, go ahead and add those thoughts as well.
And they won't have the chicken there. The San Diego chicken won't be in attendance.
I don't know. Is he still working? Or about Morgana, the kissing bandit?
Ooh, there you go. Maybe they'll both come out.
Now that's entertainment, Roger.
There you go.
We get that at the ballpark. It doesn't matter what happens on the field.
How about some cross promotion is you have? Because that would be a great Super Bowl
Morgana
show.
Morgana the kissing chicken?
That would have. No, no.
I'm sorry.
That probably would have been a great, and probably was, if we looked at the record, halftime show is Morgana the San Diego chicken being like on one of those backpack rockets. So Dino, your thoughts.
And there she goes.
Arrieta, was there any doubt, number one, that he would sign? Absolutely, probably not, right? But, you know, anytime it's up to the last few moments before arbitration, you have to wonder.
Well, the Cubs do a good job. They've done a real good job, you know, overall in their recent history with avoiding arbitration. I don't really recall the last time that they had someone that actually went through the process. And, you know, the offer they gave was, you know, $7 or $8 million. I think Arrieta's agent, they were asking for $12 or $13 million, and they met somewhere in the middle. So, I mean, it's, to me, he had a great season last year. He obviously was due for a big raise. I'd love to see him do it again this year, and then he can parlay that into an even bigger contract next year.
With the mighty Cub.
Absolutely.
But you know, the Cubs are kind of in the proverbial, in kind of the catbird seat. This is one of the side effect benefits of a Theo and Jed front office and the success that they've had so far is you're getting top line players. Not only are you not overpaying for them, they're taking less money to come to the Cubs. Right. And so, I mean, it's just one of those things.
Yeah. This offseason was really something spectacular as far as how everything seemed to fall into place. There's still a question mark as to what they're going to do in center field with, you know, Hayward's, you know, slotted into to play center now, barring any trade with Soler and right fielder, and, or if they brought a center fielder in. I don't think, you know, I don't really see that happening. I think they're going to let it play out. And then maybe during the season, if they decide it's time to make a change, they'll make one then. But right now, I think, you know, they're in pretty good shape. I mean, I don't see too many more things that they're going to do. I think there'll still be maybe one or two tweaks they'll make to the roster. I know they just signed Matt Merton, or there was rumors that Matt Merton was coming back from Japan, and the Cubs signed him to a minor league contract, which I found a little puzzling, but Yeah, I guess they're pulling out all the stops to try to get this team right where it needs to be.
And Roger, did that happen? Did you hear about a Matt Mertens signing?
And, yeah,
And what, if anything, does that do?
Well, I saw that all over the internet the other day. But I don't know what I thought of it, except to think that I'm not going to bother checking this out because it sounds really... First of all, first time around, no big deal. Second time around, why? What?
Yeah, I don't know.
How long has he been gone? He's been gone, what, about 4 years?
Maybe he brings something to the table called intangibles.
Well,
well, if he came back from Japan, he's got to claim those all those intangibles, before he gets into the country.
Yeah, I don't.
It's called duty-free.
Yeah, really?
Come on. You know what? I guess there's no really risk if you sign to a minor league deal. It doesn't make it. Doesn't pan out. You just let him go. But
there will be a grieving process.
if we're wrong about Matt Mertens,
yeah, that
be
might be right.
Process.
There will be a grieving process. Yeah. That's right. Correct.
we're gonna talk a little bit more Cubs on the predictions. We're gonna get the rest of your thoughts on the Super Bowl halftime show, and then of course your favorite commercials. We've hit on so many of those, which have been amazing. It's taking me back kind of down memory lane there on the commercial
side. It's been really cool to talk about all the commercials and everything leading up to this game. It's you sit down and analyze it, and, they have a whole day's worth of it on Sunday, but it's been kind of neat tonight to go back through it and talk about it during our show here.
Yeah, here's the thing I hate now is you used to look forward to seeing the new ones on the Super Bowl. Now you can see them all on the internet.
Yeah, they play them all before the game.
Yeah, and it's like, all right, so what am I going to tune in to the game for, especially if I'm not a fan of either team?
Now you're making me feel bad. We've built up all this hype, and then you bring up
crashing it down
back to reality. That says,
"Why
like,
would I watch the game?
What's the point?
Wait a minute,
this?
Are the Bears playing?"
Well, one can only hope.
I'm a fair weather fan. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Still a lot of good reasons, and plus, there's that whole pig out there at the Mercado Plaza.
Get down there and get yourself some.
Oh yeah.
We'll be talking a little bit more Super Bowl stuff as we kind of usher you into the day before the big game, and we'll touch on the Cubs as well. Plus, we'll give away our go to the game with Dino and Dane, 2 tickets to one of our lucky listeners coming up on May 10th, and the 312-981-7200 to be a part of that. It's Dane Neal in studio until 5, 720 WGN.
Yo.
What's that?
Hold on. Hello?
Oh, that's so great.
What's up?
720 WGN. 312-981-7200. You can add your thoughts in on your favorite commercial. You can, and so many people have added their thoughts in on their favorite or the optimum halftime entertainment. The what's up? Is there something that we're all going to be doing Monday that we did not know and will be completely embarrassed about? Because that was something
everybody was doing it. You get so sick of hearing that after about 2 days after it was over.
Well, what is up is the last topic that we kind of brought up is an opportunity to go to the game. And I said go to the game with Dino and Dane. We'll be there, 100 people, on May 10th out at Wrigley Field. I think they're playing the Padres on a Tuesday night game. All the games. There are some thoughts that possibly the entire Cubs season could be sold out. Right.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a good opportunity to do that. And anybody who shows up, adds in their thoughts, can be entered to win those tickets. And when I say go to the game with us, you really don't have to hang out with us. So it's not like,
come over and say hello and then walk away.
Well, I'll be like, okay,
come on, hang out with these guys. They're lonely. Come on, people, like, hang out with them.
Give me a pretzel, please. No, it's
stop
not like
and
that.
Get a Budweiser on your way down.
There
to your
you
seat.
Go. People are texting in the 847. Someone says, hey, Harry, nice to see you. Of course, Dino has channeled Harry Carey. He is the best in the business. I can't wait to watch the Cubs again. See the new Wrigley Field, too. And they were in the bleachers for the Ryan Sandberg game, so that's good.
Yeah, that was a great game, boy. But I still look at that on YouTube now and then just to It was a great memory. Two home runs to win the ball game in a nationally televised game when they didn't have it on ESPN.
And then this is the other 847. After the Cardinals game, after a Cardinal fan spilled beer on me, Rhino gave me his jersey. And they, if someone was there to film that, I think that would have been,
outstanding.
That would have been awesome. So you could definitely text in 312-981-7200 or call in as Billy has done from LaSalle. Billy, welcome to WGN.
Hello.
Hey, Billy, how are you doing?
I'm just great. How are you?
I'm good. So are you excited? I know once the smoke clears on the Super Bowl and the football season is over, 13 days, Roger mentioned it, you know.
Pitcher and catcher report on the 19th.
So what's your thoughts on the Cubs? Are you excited about the season?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ron Santo, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I think that would be great. So what's your prediction? I know you're excited and hopefully excited for good things, unless you're one of those people that's always excited for bad. Hey, it takes a village. But, Billy, so do you think the Cubs are going to – are they going to win the World Series this year?
I can feel it, just like I could feel it when the Bears – when it started snowing at that one game.
Yeah, kind of like this. There's a seismic tremor and you've got the
– Exactly, exactly.
The snow came down, the Bears won,
uh-huh.
And now the Cub.
In the stadium, they just went, Papa Bear.
They did.
And now the Cub are next.
So, Billy, we're going to enter you into the contest, and before, you know, when we get to almost the end of the program, which is almost now, we're going to announce it, but would you be able to go if you were the winner of those two tickets for May 10th?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Billy, thank you so much. You are entered to win. And what do you think about the Arrieta trade before we let you go?
That's Bill left.
Okay.
Or I could sing his song.
Oh, yeah, do that. If you can do that, then maybe we'll do
it. Arrieta.
Jacob Arrieta. Arrieta. He's my favorite cub. Nice. All right, Billy, you are our front runner. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl and look forward to those Cubs. And stay tuned. You may be the winner.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Billy.
Will do.
All right. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Forgot about that song.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. Wow. What did he do? Like about 10 verses on that thing? Something like that.
You know, he did it. And then if you'll remember... and of course, tune in on Wednesdays because you know, I'm typically in and Hannah's in as well for the Flavor HD segments with Bill and Wendy. So I got to hear that firsthand. We had I think wasn't there like a class of like kindergartners or third graders that actually sang that song on the news forum, or it became kind of a viral phenomenon?
Oh, I don't remember that.
I think
it went
I
that
do
far.
Remember seeing something like that. Yeah. Arrieta, the kids. Yeah, I think I do remember seeing a group of people singing that together. Bill left. He never knew what he started. That's tremendous.
Yeah. He's a visionary. He's one of those guys. I want to encourage people to go ahead and check out WGN Plus, too, because for some of the stuff that we've done and some of the stuff that I do on a regular basis, whether it's food stuff or just general things here at WGN, the Dane Neal Show on WGN Plus, definitely check that out as well. So, Dino, when you think of the person that you would want to have, you know, with us along with 100 other people, like, what do you look for in a game companion?
Well, I'd look for someone who's obviously going to have a good time and you don't have to worry about entertaining.
Doesn't have to get up and go to the bathroom all the time.
It's not away from their seat the whole time. No, I don't know. Someone just has a good time and genuinely loves to be at the ballpark and watch the Cubs play. You know, if you're a good fan, that's all I need. It's not real difficult as far as I'm concerned. If that's the case, you're in.
Now, does that person have to maybe buy you a Falstaff or a Meisterbrow or maybe bring one, smuggle something in?
Listen, if you want to butter me up and give me a Budweiser, I'm not going to turn it down.
You hear that, Chuck? If you butter Dino up, it improves your chances, of course. Billy actually sang a song. So Chuck, what do you got as far as the Cubs?
Me and my 16-year-old son would love to go to that game on May 10th. My 16-year-old son is depressed. He's like, I want to see the Cubs get in the World Series. I said, you're only 16. I go, there's people that have passed away that were waiting longer than you. I said, I'm 45, and I've been waiting since about 1976, I said. So you haven't been waiting that long. He doesn't know what the suffering is. But so it would be great for the whole city economically, I mean, I think they closed down. I think it'll be a national holiday myself.
It should be. I mean, it should. I mean, it'll be the kind of thing, and people have talked about it. We saw the amazing outpouring of support and excitement for the Blackhawks. We saw what happened, with the Whites, certainly the 85 Bears. I think nothing nationally will compare if the Cubs were able to do something like that. I think it'll be unprecedented, the amount of excitement, of just craziness. I'm wondering, but do you think there'll be riots for the Cubs? I don't know. I hope not.
I hope not. I mean, look at all the Blackhawks celebrations. Those were pretty peaceful. I think maybe when the Bulls won a couple of their championships, there was a little bit of trouble. But, I mean, I think people will be too excited. Like you said, we'll be in the national spotlight. So I think it'll be bigger than when Boston won it by far. Cause I think the Cubs are loved all over the country. You watch baseball games, you see people with Cubs gear in every city in the country.
Wow, one thing at a time, Chuck. We got to get the spring training first, and then we'll get the ball rolling there. So it's going to be an exciting season on the north side, no doubt about it.
All right, thanks, Chuck. Good luck. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Love you guys.
All right. Hey, we got love. You can't put a price on that. You got entertainment with Billy. You got love here. We got a couple texters. So what do you think, Dino? Who do you think should get it?